Pete Hamill is a veteran New York journalist and a streetwise columnist. He knows politics and the neighborhoods inside out. He's written for the New York Post, the Daily News, New York Magazine, and the Village Voice. He just gave up his New York Post column, a reaction in part to an editorial dispute. As a journalist, Hamill is always writing about today. Writing novels gives him a chance to look back. In his new novel, Loving Women, a 51-year-old photographer reflects on his coming of age, his Navy days, stationed in Pensacola. Setting these reflections in the 1950s was a way for Hamill to understand the present.
When you try to figure out why things change, you have to start from some point at which they were different. And I wanted to do a novel like this for years and years and years and never felt equipped to do it. I didn't think I had the craft at the time when I was younger. But it occurred to me finally that the point of a novel like this would be that it takes place before everything changed in America. This particular novel, Loving Women, is set in 1953, which is a year before the Supreme Court decision that got rid of segregated schools. It's 2 years before the advent of rock and roll. It's before the pill, before a whole lot of things that began to change the national life, particularly as manifested in the 60s. And I think looking back at that and trying to understand what we were, particularly emotionally rather than factually the way history does, was the original impulse that brought me to decide finally it was time to write this novel.
Now, you, like your character, had enlisted in the Navy.
That's true.
What got you into the Navy?
Well, my grandfather, Peter Devlin, had been a seaman who traveled all around the world and got killed, actually, working for the Grace Line in Brooklyn in the early part of the century, 1916. So there was a sense of the sea in our family from that side of the family. And also in my neighborhood, for some reason, everybody in Brooklyn growing up, everybody tended to go to the Navy, I think because our fathers worked at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, as I did before I went in the Navy as a sheet metal worker, and a lot of them worked at Todd Shipyards and built ships, and so ships and the ocean were really part of it.
Well, you were used to ships, but you weren't used to the South.
That's true. That's true. The South, to a kid from Brooklyn in those days, and we're talking again before everything, this was before television made such an impact on American life, the South was like another country. I arrived the day Hank Williams died, and people were moaning and wailing and crying, and the radio stations were full of all this news, and I had no idea who Hank Williams was. When you went South in those days, everything was different, the architecture, the food, and most of all, the music. The key thing, though, for a white kid from the North in those days was the encounter with racism, and a lot of this novel is about that.
Your novel's called Loving Women, and in the prologue to the novel, the main character, who's in his 50s, is separating from a younger woman. Actually, she's leaving him. And then in the flashback, when he's a younger man, he falls in love with an older woman. Of course, this made me think about how, as a more mature man, this man wanted a woman to make him feel younger, and as a younger man, he wanted a woman to make him feel more mature.
Well, I hadn't actually thought of that, but you're absolutely right. So I guess things all even out in the end. Divide by two, and we end up with one whole woman.
Well, has writing this made you think about what you've looked for in women during your life?
Oh, sure. I mean, all the way through it, I was conscious of the kinds of imprints that are placed in your brain, I guess, when you're very young, and why some men always marry the same woman. They always marry redheads with freckles, or they always marry tall, thin girls, or great, lovely, fat girls, or whatever. I think there are certain imprints that attract you to certain kinds of types to start with. It's later when you break down and find out who these individual people are, what an individual woman is, what an individual man is, that you begin to act like a human instead of a categorizer.
Mm-hmm. Did you lose your virginity in the Navy?
I certainly did.
Was it as dramatic a scene as it is in your book?
I'm sure it was not. Certainly for my co-respondent, I'm sure it wasn't. But you got to start somewhere.
You know, I'm thinking in the very end of the book, and I hope you don't think I'm giving too much away here, but the character returns to the South in search of this woman who he met when he was younger, a woman who was older than him. And it made me think that she'd probably be, what, in her 60s or 70s?
Exactly, yeah,
by then.
Right.
And you wonder if he'd found her, if he'd still have any attraction for her, considering he just left a woman who's far younger. I mean, he was just with a woman who's far younger than he was.
Well, that part of it, who knows with that? I've had friends who've, in fact, had that experience. In fact, people who were married briefly when they were 20 or something and couldn't work it out, and then find themselves again when they were in their 60s. And it has worked, because the kinds of superficial things that you look for in women when you're a kid certainly don't matter at all to mature people. I mean, what people look like and all the rest of it, it becomes much less important to everybody, and character becomes everything.
The character in your novel knows how to use his fists and has to sometimes use them. I assume that you know that, too. How did you learn how to fight?
I don't know if you really learn how to fight, but I in the neighborhood where I grew up, in Brooklyn, which was a basically working-class neighborhood, people who were, quote, good with their hands, unquote, were respected more than people who were good with their minds. It was just a kind of a natural thing. And if you were good at school, which I was when I was a kid, it became even more important to be able to be a tough guy. And it was always a kind of a, you know, a silly thing to do. But I did go to the gym, and I learned how to box, and I had a lot of fights in the street, and I won most of them and broke my hand twice and did all kinds of things like that. And I don't regret any of that, but I look back at it as kind of one of those silly rites of passage that some men have to go through.
When you became a columnist in New York, what function did you see your column as serving?
Well, when I started, I had this sort of basic sense that it would be a column about New York. I always liked Mencken's dictum that the purpose of journalism was to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And I thought that's what I would do, and that was in 1965. By 1966, we were deep into the war in Vietnam, and it really changed a lot of what I did. The column was affected by the world rather than being really something that I could choose. There was no way not to cover the 60s as they began to develop after 65, 66, and no way to avoid Vietnam and its consequences, which were Watergate, the Nixon era, etc. So I became a much more political columnist than I started out to become. I have no regrets over that. There's nothing you can do about things like that. The world changes you when you're a journalist. Or you better let it. If you don't, you find yourself writing in some kind of weird vacuum where it makes no sense and has no connection to the audience. So it did change me quite a bit.
The last time we spoke on this program, and I think this was a couple of years ago, you had just gotten back to New York from editing an English-speaking newspaper in Mexico.
Right.
And you had started writing a column for the New York Post back in New York. Now you're leaving the Post, and you'll be writing for Esquire. Did the disagreement over the Jacqueline Kennedy excerpt in the Post have to do with your leaving?
Well, it didn't make it more attractive to stay. Let's put it that way. But it was not the reason for leaving. I had been unhappy with the form rather than the situation at the paper. The actual form of a newspaper column, of trying to say something in 630 words without coarsening or vulgarizing the subject, is the thing that really got to me. At my age, I want to write the best work I'm capable of doing and not just hold a job or have a career or anything like that. It's too late for all that. I just want to do good work and be the best craftsman I can be. And the limitations of the column had much more to do with it than that particular column.
Okay. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.